It is Friday. And Friday, I know that beans. Ahead of time, because this is a special planned release, because our interviewee has a single releasing today. So we're doing a special, like, on the day of release. So listen to this episode and then hop over to Soraya's Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get music, and check out their new single. I should probably introduce who we're talking to, and that is the wonderful, lovely Zuzu Mansour of Soraya. She is fantastic. I know we say that about everyone we interview, but
that's because we have taste.
We have taste.
We know who to pick and who to be like, you know what? It's not your season.
We're not interviewing crypto metal on this podcast, because that's the thing, apparently.
Bitcore, as we call it now.
Bitcore. Honestly, it probably would be better if they called it Bitcore. It might go over better. But no, truly wonderful interview. Amazing musicians. Check them out. They have an album coming out this fall. You'll hear all about it and about, like, the process they went through in this interview. And I don't want to give the whole interview away, so let's just cut right to it. I'm Leah.
And I'm Bethan.
And this is Shiorakyu.
Where are they getting a dub in a CPS executive meeting?
No.
Bitch, don't touch my thermostat.
The ghost be like, hold up, before I haunt you, let me turn down the thermostat.
Who is this man?
We're on page one, guys.
This is Shiorakyu.
We are joined tonight by an interviewee that I have been looking forward to for like 3 weeks since we scheduled this. And that is the wonderful Zuzu Mansour of Soraya. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
So to get started, because we are a focus on the history here, tell us about yourself and how you got into music.
Well, since I was little, I wanted to sing, and nobody in my family sang. I should know that verb by now. But anyway, nobody in my family was musical or artistic, though they really were huge fans of music. My father was from Egypt, so he played a lot of Arabic music in the car. So nice. I grew up listening to that kind of scale. And then my mother loved Elvis Presley and the Beatles. My dad loved the Beatles. No one liked the Rolling Stones, oddly enough. And I became a big fan of Stones later. But that's kind of like my mom and I would dance around a lot and stuff. So I always felt music. And I have a video of me in second grade singing a song on stage with the mic like way up, like way higher than where I was, you know, with my friend Corinne. So I was the thing that I remember in second grade just being terrified of doing it, but wanting to do it so badly. And I don't know where I got the inspiration from, but that's, I always go back to that when I try to remember, like, that came from something much bigger than you, because you didn't come up with that from anything you'd seen. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I wanted to sing from a very young age, and I just did. So I played drums first because I wasn't a very good singer. I thought you were either born a singer or I didn't know you could train, you know, and all that. So I followed that ignorance for a few years, really to my dismay, but I became a pretty decent drummer in the meantime. And I played as a drummer in some bands before I started singing. So always musical, always a music kid.
So how did the band get together?
I just went looking for musicians when I started wanting to do open mics. And Travis, who's my co-writer for years now, for like 10 years now, probably longer than that, we've been writing, but really writing for albums and stuff for like 10 years. And then he actually answered, and he said he was a drummer and a bass player. And he had just heard, he came and he auditioned on drums. And I was like, what? He gets offended. But like, he's a really good bass player. And he's a really great songwriter. So he's been with me since the beginning, and did open mics with me. Every night we'd go do open mics. And before that, I had a friend who did open mics with me too on guitar, because I don't play guitar. And I just was singing every night, like from the get-go. And then somebody told me that if I really wanted to do it for a living, which I did, you need to write your own songs so you feel them. And I believed him, so I started writing songs. And then I wrote with some of the best songwriters. So there was just this period where, after I was a singer, and I wanted to be a singer in a band, because I always wanted to do it with a lot of people. Like, I didn't want to be alone. I wanted like this band family with me. I always had that vision in my head. And you know, we have a core of three now, and other players come and go, but the three of us have been together a long time. And after that, I just wanted to become a really good songwriter. So I spent like 3 years just working on the craft of songwriting with mentors and, you know, using my own voice, but learning the craft, like, you know, of how popular music is and how, like, I, you know, as a listener to music, we don't realize we're studying it anyway. Like, you know,
that's a good point. Kind
of subconsciously studying it. So I think that answered the question. I'm caffeinated, so I could go on. You want to cut me off at some point? For
it's okay.
No, you're doing great. You're at an even speed too, so you know.
I'm going.
Caffeination is not playing into effect. You're doing just fine.
Okay, good. Sometimes I talk really fast, and it's like, you know. So
no, I'm tracking. You're perfect.
Okay, cool.
You're doing great. That I like that the whole origin is so. It's very organic. It's not like I was setting out to become the greatest rock star in the world. Just, I want to sing. I want to make music. Whatever happens.
Yeah. Well, that's not where I am now, but that's how I started. I definitely want more and more exposure all the time, mostly because I think Soraya has a purpose, and more so than even the people in it. You know, I think there's a message there that is on every song that needs to be heard, you know. So I think the right audience comes and the right people hear it. And every time you release new music, it resonates with who it's supposed to. That part you can't control that much, you know. You can force it, but the ones who stay with you long term are the ones who like hear the message in it and hear the just enjoy the music, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of new music, great segue. You guys just you're very busy right now. You're very much gearing up for your album in the fall, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
You just released a new single that is out at the time of this recording called Hammer and the Anvil, which shout out to my friend Campbell who did the album artwork.
Yes. Oh yeah. Campbell. That's exciting.
It is. I would see her art online and there was always a piece or two that stood out to me and I'd have to write her about it. And I remember we have very in-house artwork. Like Brianna's an artist, Travis is an artist. That's our drummer and bass player. So they do most of our artwork. But, you know, so much music was coming out this year. It was like they would send me stuff and I was like, I don't feel that. Like I'm not, you know, and they're humble enough that it's like, you know what, I'm going to go outside for this one. And I wrote Campbell and I just asked her what she thought of like this idea of what the lyrics were about. And I didn't even want to share anything about it with her. Just like, this is what I want. I want it to be like this anatomical thing. And like, you know, and she like did it in like a day. She got it. Like there's musicians like that too, where you can say, I just want it to be like dark and gothy, but not too gothy. And then they immediately play what you want. And you're like, when you find those people, you just hang on to those people too. Some creative brains just resonate with each other. And like, definitely she got what the vibe was of, without even hearing the song. So
yeah, Campbell is an incredible artist.
Yes.
So good. So, and such a joy to work with. Very easygoing.
Yeah.
Very much wants to get your vision down. You know what I mean? It's a good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. As far as the song, tell us about what inspired it and the process of that writing that one.
Hammer and the Anvil?
Yes.
Okay. So that one actually started out as a song called Hammer in the Fire. And we sent it into our label. And our label head is little Steven Van Zandt. He's the guitarist for Bruce Springsteen. Why did it take me 10 minutes to figure that out? Like, you know, but anyway. So we heard it and I said, you know, we're trying to release a single at the time. So it's a lot of pressure when you're trying to write a single versus an album song, you know. So we were trying to write the single and I think it was like our third submission to him. And he was just like, he always adds his like, not only his opinion, but he, which you can take or leave. He's very easygoing with that, which I left it on the next single. I'm glad I didn't. He is too. But so interruptive. So that one I sent to him and he really liked it, but he wanted to change the title line to Hammer and the Anvil. And I was like, Anvil? Like, no, I don't like that word. Like, I don't like how that word sings. And so he sent me the song revised with what the melody line should be. And I've never written to somebody else's melody ever in my life.
Yeah.
And kind of like, well, let me give it a go and see what happens. You know what I mean? At first I was like, for 2 days, like, there's no way I can do this. This is crazy. This is not how I write. And then like 2 days go by, I'm like, let me try it. So that's what I was like, because I've written a million ways, but it's not the way I'm used to. So I did, and it worked out really well. Like, so he wrote the melody. He actually wrote the lyrics for the chorus. He changed my lyrics. He kept some of them, but he changed a lot of them. And then I changed them again. And then on the production. And then me and Travis wrote the middle section. So it was kind of the most collaborative song we've written. Yeah. And it took me a few days to accept the anvil idea. And he's like, I really like that word because nobody really uses it. And it's just, when you were talking about, I was talking about chemistry, about like, I had this spark and this chemistry with this guy, but I couldn't. We couldn't turn, we couldn't see it. Like, it was like, go like this, and then I'd be going back like this, and then I go like this, and then I go like this. So that's what it was about. And so he really understood that part, and he just had a different picture in his head of it. And I was like, you know, I'm not married to Hammer and the Fire, and that's kind of, I think there's a Queen song called Hammer and the Fire. So I was like, or maybe, I think it's Queen. Anyway, it's not, it took a few days, but I liked it. And then it was one of those you just kind of had to talk it through, which we normally don't do that ever. So, And I'm happy for it. I mean, like when the three of us write together, it always is very different than when just the two of us write together. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a different appeal to it. Not better or worse, just different, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm proud of that.
I love those moments though, when people are like, you should do this. And you're just like, immediately, I'm the same way. No, why would I do that? That doesn't make sense. No, that's not the vision. And then you're like, and then like you sit on it for 3 minutes and you're like, sure, why not? Like,
yeah, just you're coming. Right.
We're kind of like, I don't want to be a closed-minded artist. You know what I mean? I don't want to feel like a certain way or the higher.
Yeah.
And this is like a guy we've worked with for now, sure. Like on three albums here and there. He's co-written with us on every single album. And I was like, I'm always opposed to it at first, always, because it's not my comfort zone. And I find sometimes those things end up being the best songs because you're so like against the idea that it's a new, because it's new or it's something you can do. And I think as time's gone on still, I used to be worried somebody's going to take away my voice and kind of, I'd just be put into this little equation. I'd be like this X factor in the equation, but it wasn't really mine. So I've always had like a little bit of a defending of the music. And so I kind of always bring that to table, even with producers. I'm very like, time's gone on, I've opened up and been more like, listen, this is not, I'm not married to it. Even if it goes all the way to mix and I don't like it in the mix, you can take it out. So I've learned to let go of those like holding on, like with white knuckles, you know, kind of view of songs and parts.
Well, sometimes, I can imagine. Oh, I'm sorry, Leah.
Sometimes things just got to breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. I choke things a lot. So learning to not choke them as hard is a really good thing.
And especially that's an interesting point with like, I think when we do at least, you know, our episodes where we look at artists, we do see a lot of points where the artist almost gets cut out of it and it's all the creative control is just taken away from them. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine with collaboration, you know, there's a line that you can immediately feel like, you know, oh, is my creative control getting taken away or is it collaboration? So it's definitely an understandable fear.
Yeah. And I think also the more experience someone has in something, it's like they kind of have to lower how they speak and I have to like, you know, so when we started writing with Steven, it was very unequal. It felt unequal. And now it doesn't feel like that, you know, as much. It's more about the creative idea than about like, well, how much did they write and how much did I write? And I used to keep a scorecard like that just for my own self to validate whether or not I was a good enough songwriter, which, you know, was bullshit, but it's part of the process. Like, I think the longer you do anything that you're creatively committed to, you have to mature in those areas and you have to be more open-minded or it just kind of, the music suffers. Your ego grows and the artist part of you kind of, you know, so
Yeah. That's a good perspective.
So I guess on the opposite end of the songwriting journey, you have a new song that's out today on this episode release day called I Seek Fire, which I may have heard already, thanks to a friend. I love this song. This is a banger of a song, first off.
Yeah.
Tell us about that process.
I was waiting for more. I was just like, more accolades, please.
Like, yes. Go on.
Yeah. I was making a sandwich when I got home from work and listening to it, and I was like, okay, like, I can't wait to hear the rest of this album. If these first two singles go this hard, like, it's going to be one hell of an album.
You need a slapper while you're building a sandwich smacker. That's what I always say.
I bet that was an awesome sandwich. Yeah, I mean, I think this is the song that when we did it in demo form, like, this is the song, right? And we sent it in. They're like, eh. And I was like, are you out of your mind? Like, I like immediately Travis played me the riff and I was like, oh my God, I can hear something right away. Like the cut of the riff and the tone that he uses on his guitar when he writes, just when he sends the idea, it's like, I'll listen. He's like hundreds of ideas. So I'm like, just going through, I'm like, Jesus. So, you know, that one, I immediately heard the cut and the staccato approach to the riff. And I was like, I immediately thought of like 1,000 paper cuts, like sting down the bone, like, you know, like, and all the insults. And I used to read a lot, like, I still read, but I read a lot of Edgar Allan Poe in like high school and well into my 20s and 30s. And I remember just being like, the 1,000 injuries of Fortunato I bore best I could, but when he ventured on insult, I vowed revenge. And I was like, immediately I heard this riff and I was like, the Cask of Amontillado, Edgar Allan Poe, it has to start out like that. It has to be like 1,000 paper cuts sting down to bone. It came just like that. And I was like, when have I felt that? And so it was like kind of one of those songs where the first line decided the rest of the song. Like, because I don't tend to write title lines and then build around it. It's like something comes from the riff and the music, which is what I love about collaborating. But all the while, I'm filling my brain with like poetry every day and like conversations and things like that, that words or lines stick out to me. And then like all of a sudden I hear that piece and that song like immediately evoked lyrics for me. And I was really proud of it. And it changed a lot from demo form to what it's become now. It's much better to me. Like the more hands that got on it, the better, definitely. And in production, it got, you know, during the recording process and production process, it changed immensely. And I was so happy because the end of the chorus is not what it was. It went for like a money note. And he's like, no, just sing, I seek fire, like straight. And I was like, okay. And I didn't really like it, but I did it and now I love it, right? So time passed and now I don't like it any other way. So yeah, I always go back to that as my favorite song on the record, even though it changes. You know, it's funny, you go from not being able to hear the sound of your voice to like actually liking your songs as a fan. Like, it's weird. But yeah, I'm very proud of that one.
And weird thing to comment on, but I really love the length of it because I feel like songs are getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and it just kept going. And I was like, okay, you can vibe to this for 4 minutes straight.
Yeah. And there's like the, you know, we're big fans of like a lot of like the Pixies and I'm thinking of other bands, but we always kind of put a little tip of our hat into songs. So there's a tip of our hat in the middle section of this song for sure. So we'll let people figure out what that is, but.
Yeah, as soon as you're listening,
know right away. That's what that is. But it's.
I mean, this description's getting me hyped. So, I'm ready to hear this.
Good. It's a good song.
It's a fantastic song.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's also roomy. You know, I do a lot of my stuff from Roomy. He said, "Set your life on fire and seek those who fan your flame." So I just came up with "I Seek Fire" from that because that. I wanted that idea of that's what I want in my relationships with people. I want it like that stimulus. Like I want us to like be vital and alive, not constant, like, you know, but I want people that around me and I want to be around people and empower them and like make them see things a different way. Like, you know, so it kind of embodied what I really want. You know, and I'm very conscious of like when I write a song, if it's not a story about something else, then like it's got to be something that has, I think there's power in a song and singing it over and over again. You know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. So we've talked a lot about this album coming up. Is there anything else you can tell us ahead of time about the album that people should look forward to?
I'm just really excited about it. I'm always excited, but in the, you know, every new release I get like, oddly enough, more excited and more like stressed too, and more like anxious, you know, but I think the buildup to this one has been so long because of the vinyl like shortage.
Oh yeah.
Back order. It was finished being written like last May. And then we didn't even go into record till August, and we finished at the end of October, and it's coming out a year later. So it's like the longest we've waited. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's kind of, I think people are going to be like, they're going to hear what they love about Soraya, but they're also going to hear some new things, and they're going to hear the growth in the fact that we stayed together and we keep trying new things. Mm-hmm. Definitely listening from, you know, Dead Reckoning to Dig Your Roots to, you know, Bloom, which is the third in the mm-hmm. series. It really is a series of three about where we were, knowing we didn't want to go backwards, is Dead Reckoning, and to Dig Your Roots into like knowing who we are into, okay, now what? Like, let's bloom, like, let's do the next thing. Originally, I was going to call it the album Soraya because I feel like we finally come into who we are. Like, not that we haven't been, and not that we're going to stop here, but I think we're finally at this place where we're really comfortable with what we do and who we are, and we're not afraid as much. Mm-hmm. I think there was some fear before. I don't think we have that anymore. There's a comfort and a growth, and it's like a constant challenging of each other. So it's like, let's keep doing that. So that's what, that's, I'm excited even more so to see what we write next. We started writing again. So, and we're trying different ways of writing, which is, I never would have done like a year ago. So it's definitely blooming, whatever's happening. Mm-hmm. Definitely growing. So I think people will hear what they want to hear, but they'll also hear some stuff that's very different. We very much, the last song on the record is Mephistopheles. We can like really thought about the story of the record this time, like the sequence. Mm-hmm. And it's like a powerful, you know, last song. And I think one of the things, I just want to say one more thing, is I don't realize like Travis and Brianna have this amazing attunement to how to do background vocals in a very unique way that serves a song. Like the background vocals they came up for that, and then the one they came up for it with for Jackson's song, it just makes the song. Like the song was good, but the song like reaches this new level because they just, and I let them. I'm like, do that, because I'll just come up with your ordinary like just thirds layer, make it bigger. And they try different things and do like minors and rubs, a little bit of rubs on some notes, and I really, really like it, you know? So that's kind of exciting to look forward to, too. You'll hear that on some of the songs, the layers of background vocals.
I'm excited to hear these. They sound like they're going to be so interesting. And so you guys are also going to tour this album, like a little tour. What can people expect on that tour?
Oh, I'm just so excited to be on the road again. Like not with, maybe we're going to come back, maybe we're not. Maybe we're going to stop. Maybe there'll be there people there. Maybe there won't. Like, that's pretty much been what it's been like since we started playing live again last June of 21. Mm-hmm. It's been like such a roller coaster, and like, I feel like it's finally evened out. Not that obviously things aren't over, but like, I think with going out and playing and doing what I do for my life, it's evened out. It's evened out a lot compared to like even 6 months ago. Like January was a whole different thing, like compared to what it, maybe it's 8 months now, compared to what it is now. I feel better about going on the road. I feel safer. I don't know if that makes sense. I feel like, you know, fall is what we go on the road. That's what we do. And we have a new album, so we go on the road. So I'm excited about, you know, everybody that's playing with us and the shows that are coming up, doing some shows with Joan Jett. I love Joan Jett.
Yes.
We've played her birthday, which is exciting. I love
playing. Isn't she a patron saint on our podcast, Leah?
She is a patron saint on our podcast.
Well, she should be. She's an amazing, amazing artist. Never stops growing, you know. Really helps other artists, like really helps. She put the quote on the front of our album, actually. She gave us the most beautiful quote that made me cry for like at least 45 minutes, like straight. And then with her, and then I think we're doing some West Coast dates too with Josie Cotton, and then more Midwest dates with Haley and the Crushers, which is a band out of Detroit. So I'm looking forward to
packing stuff. That's super exciting.
Yeah.
So before I throw it to Beth Ann for our lightning round questions, which are the fun ones, where can people find you and the band online?
Any social media, Soraya Rocks. It's Soraiarocks. And then our home site is soraya.com, just Soraia. And that has all our tour dates up to date. Anything new we add, which we'll be adding a lot this fall too. We actually put out for some other tours and we'll see if we get on those. So there may be more dates coming, maybe just more one-offs coming, but definitely more dates besides what we have listed. So
fingers crossed for a Virginia date.
Yes, Virginia or Raleigh, North Carolina date.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Well, the first question I have is based off your hat, because it says Grill Master. So now, I have to know, one, are you a Grill Master? And two, is there a meal, like either a meat or non-meat? Because roasted veggies on a grill are fucking delicious.
They are.
Is there a meal that you're like, this is coming to the cookout and I'm going to make double because I know people are going to, it's going to be gone in 20 minutes.
Okay. I am not a cook at all. I'm an out eater. Like, and what I mean by an out eater is I eat out a lot. I don't even know why I made up that word, but I am definitely not good at it. I've gone through phases where I cook. Mm-hmm. My dad, like I think I said earlier, he was Egyptian and he used to make bram, which in a clay pot with chicken and rice and I get a brown covering. Never quite got that right, but my brother's got it down. So I eat his a lot. But yeah, no, I'm not very good at that. I can make eggs.
Hey, you can bring eggs to a cookout. There's nothing wrong with that.
Listen, you know what I do love at a cookout though? So I'm not a grill master, but this hat was like a dollar in LA. And I had
that's a good hat.
It is. It's very good, especially I have bangs. So anytime my bangs aren't right, I just put a hat on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got this for a dollar in LA to go running in the hills because nice. It's so high.
There you go.
But I've worn it ever since and I love it. It's literally a dollar from Target. Which I don't know if I should advertise that, but at a barbecue, my very favorite thing, and I just had it like a week or two ago at the last outing I was at, was hot dogs. I love grilled hot dogs. Mm. I'm a meat person. I don't have a problem. I don't eat much steak only because it doesn't make me feel good. But mm-hmm. I love hot dogs. Hot dogs are my thing. Only in the summer. And grilled. Only grilled.
They have to be grilled.
Yeah.
I grew up on boiled hot dogs and I don't quite understand why I accepted that at a young age as this is existence.
Yeah.
But I agree. Has to be grilled.
I'm with you.
What is your favorite go-to brand name, either alcoholic or non-alcoholic drink?
I don't drink, so I love Evian water, actually. And unfortunately for me, as a singer, the worst thing I could do in the world is what I love, which is coffee. I absolutely love coffee. All kinds of coffee.
Isn't that just stupid?
I'm drinking coffee right now. I wish I didn't drink as much coffee just because, like I said, I'm a singer and it's really not good for the chords.
No. Yeah.
Mind it like until they like completely burn out my chords, I'm probably going to drink coffee. I hate to say it. But I try to even it out with a lot of Evian water because it's really good. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, has a taste, like a very clean, pure taste.
Waters have taste. They do. And I am there's Dasani water and I won't touch it. So I'm like, I don't like the taste of it.
No, me neither. Me neither.
I don't like the taste.
I don't either. And people get that cheapo water and I'm like, no, give me the Evian. I'll take the expensive water because I'll never forget the singer who sang on like one of my first demos. She was amazing. And she said, I have to drink Evian because I have acid reflux. And it's the only thing that helps with my acid reflux. And I have acid reflux as well. So, I mean, I can't eat certain foods, but sometimes I do. And then so the water is just really, I've never burp or any of that with it. Like it's, I can drink camel it. I call it cameling it because I sometimes in the morning I'm like, I never burp. It's like Evian is just very healthy water, clean water.
That sounds good. And then you add a little lemon for the vocal cords.
Sometimes.
And sometimes, yeah.
See, I'm a lazy person, so I just drink the water. But like sometimes too, if I don't cut my own lemons, I don't.
That's fair. I get that. But yeah, I concur with the coffee. It is just so dumb that it's so good and it hurts vocal cords when singing. It's dumb. It's just dumb. And I add cream to my coffee like it's no tomorrow. So it's like, you might as well just stop talking at that point.
Yeah, same. I'm doing all the wrong things. It's funny. I just read somebody's blog about singing and what you shouldn't do. And they're like, I just drink one cup of coffee a day. I'm a coffee fiend, but I can only have one cup a day. And I'm like, I guess if I lost, if like something happened, I would do it. But I'm that person that I'm not going to do it unless something happens.
We ain't there yet. So
no. So far, good.
Yeah.
I do all the other things. Like I get plenty of rest. I on tour, I always am sleeping. I'm always warming up. I'm always cooling down. I do all that. If I cut coffee, I'd probably be like, my range would just go insane. But
it's not worth it.
I'm okay with it.
I totally get that. And then our signature question, if you were a type of cereal, which would you be and why?
Count Chocula.
Yes.
Because he's a vampire and this is my favorite cereal growing up. I should say when I was little, not growing up, when I was little. I love the picture of him.
If you watch What We Do in the Shadows, there is an excellent Count Chocula joke.
Oh, I didn't see it yet. Is that on the new season?
The new season, yeah.
Okay, I haven't watched that yet. I've watched the other one, but...
Me and my husband were going to wait to binge it, and then one day I just accidentally put it on, and I'm like, well, I'm here, so I might as well watch two episodes.
You never know when you're going to get that chance again, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that is our last question. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. This has been a lovely chat.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad I saw that, the message.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you like this show. Special thanks to Death of Fawn for our intro riff. You can visit our website at shewillrockyou.com. There you'll find links to our social, the show notes, and a place where you can contact us. Other than that, don't do drugs.